verses 11 and 12. And when you find that portion of Scripture, if you could stand with us for the reading of our text this evening from God's Word. It's good to be in God's house this evening. Thankful for the haven of rest. Thankful for the place of refuge, God's house. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 11 says, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Amen. You may be seated again this evening. Paul writing to Timothy, calling him a man of God. He gives him a warning or an admonition, or just highly suggests. We need to realize when God highly suggests something, best take heed. Amen. You see, that's how God operates. He highly suggests for you and I and gives direction. We still have the right to choose to say yes or to say no. And of course, Timothy, of course, his track record and those things that have followed his life have been a track record of yes. But it says, flee these things. Does that mean something was chastening? Does that mean something was coming towards him? I mean, what do you flee from? I mean, if you see a tornado coming, do you run towards it? No, you flee, don't you? If you're out in the woods and you're just hiking, and here comes a bear, do you run towards it? Well, sometimes they tell you if you try to scare it, that it'll run away from you. But what do most folks do? They flee. They run. They get away from it. Amen. Well, Paul is telling Timothy, flee these things. There is a time for the child of God to run. Amen. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord, but yet there is a time that we need to flee. And what we need to flee is those things that will cause our faith to go shipwrecked. Flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Amen. Fight the good fight of faith. So he's still talking about a military soldier here. He's talking about fighting the good fight of faith. So fighting the good fight of faith is fleeing those things that will bring danger and detriment to my life, and following after, or means pursuing, those things that will enrich my righteousness, my godliness, my faith, my love, my patience, my meekness. Amen. See, this is something that's hard to find in a soldier. Meekness. Yet a soldier of faith is meek because he knows who his commander is. And he knows the characteristics of his commander, and he fights just like his commander would fight. Amen. You see, when we fight the fight of faith, it's not a free-for-all of however I want to fight the fight of faith. No, when the proclamation comes forth to fight the fight of faith, it is automatically making a reference to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to fight the way that he fights. Sing a chorus sometimes, this is the way I fight my battles. And it's talking about prayer. It's talking about praise. And it's talking about fellowship with God. You see, sometimes I've got to wake up to where I'm at. And I got to get away from those things that have put me in the wrong place. Put me in a wrong attitude. Amen. I've got to flee those things. And I've got to pursue. I made mention to you on Sunday morning of how do you get rid of an old habit. And the answer to that was start a new one. That's a good one. You start a good habit in the place of the old habit. And then eventually the good habit takes and removes the old habit. Because now you don't have time for the old habit. You've got time for the new one. Praise our God. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. In other words, you've been there. You've done it. Now do it some more. Do it some more. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith. You see, this is a call to faith. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So we see then our warfare is not carnal. It's another statement of the Apostle Paul in the Word of God. Our warfare is not carnal. We're not wrestling against people. We're wrestling against the powers behind the people, the powers behind the attitudes, the powers behind the darkness, the powers behind the evil. We're wrestling. It's a spiritual warfare, and thus then we're going to have to fight spiritual plane. Hallelujah. And faith, this call to faith that I'm preaching about, this call of faith that I'm preaching about here tonight, this now I'm going to be able to overcome and fight the fight of faith. It's going to take faith to fight the fight of faith. I'm going to have an up-to-date relationship with God to where I know my God is real. And that He is able. Have you ever found yourself in this position where, well, you know, I think God can? That's not knowing He's able. Hello. This is why it takes faith to fight the fight of faith. The call of faith is a call to a higher walk, a higher place, a greater relationship with God. Now, do not raise your hand, but just I want you to think about this. Are you walking as close to God as is earthly possible tonight? Is there room for a closer walk in your life tonight? Just think about it. Because if there is, then here's another question. What are you doing about it? Because the call of God is a call of faith. When I'm saying the call of God, I'm not talking about all ministry. I'm not talking about a call to be a pastor, an evangelist, or a missionary. That's not what I'm talking about. The call of God, in other words, when God talks to you and God talks to me, the call or the words that He speaks are words to bring faith into my life, to bring a confidence into my life, to bring an allegiance into my life. Every time God speaks His word to you and me, it is a call of faith, a call of obedience. Now realize, once again, the warfare we're in, spiritual warfare. So that means I'm not going to be able to fight it just within me. 2 Samuel 22 and 33, it says, "God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect. Now, when the Old Testament uses this terminology, it doesn't mean God's going to come down and grab a hold of us and make us do right. It's not what it means. What it means is God is going to be right there with us. He's our power, he's our strength, and he is going to provide the way that you and I can walk in a perfect way. He's going to provide it. It's going to be amply available to you and I, and the power is going to be there, the strength is going to be there, the availability is going to be there. He'll make my way perfect. Bottom line, if I'll let him. If I'll let him. 2 Corinthians 3:5 says, "Now, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." If there's anything a born-again believer, filled with the Spirit of God, full of faith, realizes, it's not my strength. It's his. If we've not come to that reality yet, then we're either not a believer, or we're a believer and we're not filled with the Spirit of God, or we're a believer that is filled with the Spirit of God, but we are not allowing that call of faith to have its way in our lives. And you see, it is a call to a higher plane. It's a call to walk where I don't think I can. I can't live that way. How many times have you heard somebody say that? I just can't live that way. I just can't live right. That means they haven't accepted the call of faith. God says, "I know that you can't live right. What do you think I've been trying to tell you all along? You need me. You need the Lord Jesus Christ. You need the Spirit of God. You need the Word of God. That's why you can't get it done, because you're trying to do it yourself." Whoa. It's a call of faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, the promises of God, Psalm 34 and 7, see, they're there to build our faith. It says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them." Wow. Do you realize that we have helpers? Wow. Sometimes we forget that. We think we're all alone and we're the only ones in this battle and in this warfare. And sometimes we get like Elijah and think we're the only one left. Ain't nobody else trying. Poor, pitiful me. That's not how it is. It says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and deliver them." I mean, we don't have to go very far in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, to find the angels were busy helping the believers. Amen. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that. Angels are about us. And they know whether we fear him or not. They know whether we honor him or not. They know whether we follow him or not. And when we do, well, then they're right there to help in that time of trouble. They're watching over you. They're watching over your family. Hallelujah. Praise God. They are ministers of God. And they encamp round about them that fear him and deliver them. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we find that story, and someone preached about this not very long ago. But in 2 Kings 6 and 16, it says, "And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Do you understand? Elisha may not have been seeing these angels. He just knew they were there. Elisha didn't have to see them to believe. But this young man was scared to death, and he thought he was going to die. And his faith was very, very weak. Although he had been with this man named Elisha, and he had seen the hand of God many times. But yet, this shows forth the immaturity of the young man in his faith. Because when everything got hot and heated and looked impossible, his faith flew the coop. But Elisha said, "Lord, go ahead and let him see. Open his eyes. Go ahead and let him see what you're doing around us." And God did. You see, now that he saw it, well, it wasn't faith anymore, was it? But yet it built his faith. Hopefully, next time, he didn't have that problem. Amen. You see, God is all about increasing your faith. He's all about increasing my faith. He's all about that call of faith. He's all about taking everything around us to help build our faith in him, our confidence in him. Because without it, you and I know, Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. That lets me know that everything I do in my life must be based on faith in God. My decisions must be based on faith in God. My direction must be based on faith in God. My relationships must be based on faith in God. Everything about my life has to be based on the foundation of my faith in God. And what that means is I'm allowing Him to direct my paths. That is faith in God. It's when I try to pick up my path and put myself on the path I think I need to be on is when I get in trouble. But if I'm living the life of faith, then my faith is in God's directive for my life. And I'm always seeking the face of God. Because that's what faith is. Faith is confidence in God's ability to direct my life. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. It's all about being strong and filled with the power of God, of His might. Hebrews 11, verses 32 and 34. The writer here has been talking about faith. That's what we're talking about here tonight. He says, "What shall I say? What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness," just did what was right. That's what faith's all about. Just it makes no difference what the task is. It's going to take faith to do it God's way. Obtain promises. Stop the mouths of lions. Quench the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in fight. And turned to flight the armies of the aliens. You don't have to go very far in the Old Testament to see that when the children of Israel put their faith in God, they were always victorious. As long as they were walking with God and had faith in God and received or moved with that call of faith, they were always victorious. Do you see now tonight why that when Jesus Christ moves and ministers through the Word of God and the Spirit of God, it is always a call to faith? It's always a challenge to faith. It's always a pressing to faith, a greater confidence in God than in your own abilities. Faith. In Romans 10 and 17 it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." God communicates with us. He has been communicating all night long since this service began with us. Did you communicate back with Him? For He was communicating to us, speaking to us. You see, He's always talking. But only those that listen hear Him talk. Amen. In Genesis 17, 3 and 4, and I'm closing with this tonight. Told you we're going to try to keep you long. The title of this is Face Down and Listening. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, "As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." The scriptures declare Abram fell on his face as the Lord talked with him. Abraham was reverent and submissive. Probably there is no better picture anywhere in the Bible of the right place for mankind and the right place for God. God was on his throne speaking, and Abraham was on his face listening. Where God and man are in relationship, this must be the ideal. God must be the communicator, and man must be in the listening, obeying attitude. If men and women are not willing to assume this listening attitude, there will be no meeting with God in the living personal experience. Yes, Abraham was lying face down in humility and reverence, overcome with awe in his encounter with God. He knew that he was surrounded by the world's greatest mystery. The presence of this one who fills all things was pressing in upon him, rising above him, defeating him, taking away his natural self-confidence. God was overwhelming him and yet inviting and calling him, pleading with him and promising him a great future as a friend of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And faith cometh by hearing, listening. Listening. And hearing by the Word of God. What am I listening to? There's many voices out here in this world around us. There's many voices that come to our minds. But have I tuned my ears to hear what the Spirit of God would have to speak to me? Did I come this night knowing God was going to speak to me? I did. I come to every service knowing God is going to speak to me. He's going to speak wonderful words of life. He's going to show me errors of my way. I'm the man. I'm the one. He's going to lead me to greener pastures. He's going to lead me beside the still waters. He's going to help me in my times of stress. Hallelujah. Because He knows what I need before I ever ask. And he's already come prepared to minister to my need, to minister to my soul, to call me to a greater faith in him. Hallelujah. Learning how to get on my face and humbling myself so that I can hear what he's trying to say. You know, a lot of times, just because we sit in silence and are men or women of few words, doesn't mean we're not talking. Because our mind is always talking. We're always thinking. I trust you're always thinking. We are. We're either thinking thoughts of self, or we're thinking thoughts of God. And however we think is what we will become. And that's why I need to get face down and get to listening to that call of faith, that I might be able to walk with my God as he desires to walk with me. Amen. Sister Pepper, could you come back to the piano for us tonight? That call of faith, it goes out continually. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. That is not a one-time experience. That is a continual walk with God. There are times I need help. That means I need saved from something. Something that I should have been fleeing from has caught me. Woo! And now I need saved or delivered. They mean the same thing. Sometimes I need saved from myself. Sometimes I need saved from the enemy of my soul. Sometimes I need saved from the attitude I have allowed to come into my life. There's lots of things that we as believers still need saved from. Amen. That's why Paul told Timothy, flee. Flee those things. They're going to take you away from what you know God has already spoke to you. See, sometimes we just got to get up and move closer to God. That's how we flee those things. You see, sometimes circumstances and situations, we can't get away from them. They're there. But we can get away from the effect thereof and follow the Spirit of God into that righteousness, into that peace, into that faith, into that love, into that meekness. Amen. Praise our God. That challenge to rise up in faith. Let's stand together tonight. God of heaven, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for the love that you have for us. You're not willing that we should perish. You're not willing that any should perish. And God of heaven, you are mindful of us. And Lord, you move in mysterious ways and you move in wonderful ways to help us be men and women of faith, children of faith, young people of faith, learning to listen, learning to walk, learning to be led, learning to follow, learning to be submissive. God of heaven, we rejoice in this great salvation. Hallelujah. And God, we thank you, Lord God, for your Spirit speaking to us tonight. And I ask you, God, meet us around these altars of prayer. Lord, as we open our hearts and we call on your name and we respond to your call of faith, let's come around these altars and let's find us a place to pray tonight.